iPatriots.us is a new conservative alternative to liberal-based email services. It's secure, private, and safe. No ads or spam. And they won't collect or sell your data ever. Go to iPatriots.us right now. Pick your membership, and at checkout, select your own iPatriots email address. Enter promo code USA10 for 10% savings during your first year of membership.
Hey, it's that time of year for those of you, God forbid, you got to keep your New Year's resolution. What if you're a timeshare owner and you want to get out of your timeshare? Maybe that's at the top of your list, or maybe you made a bad investment over the years. It doesn't matter. Let not your heart be troubled, because the new year is also a reminder that you can get serious about getting rid of this timeshare and doing it right and doing it legally. And Lone Star Transfer is absolutely an amazing group of people. From beginning to end, I highly recommend, if you have any type of timeshare, I want you to contact Lone Star and tell them I told you to call. They'll give you a free, no obligation consultation, and they'll help get you out of your timeshare. They'll do it the right way, the legal way, and it will take very little effort on your part, just by calling #250 on your mobile phone and saying the keyword timeshare. That's #250 on your cell phone, keyword timeshare. You can check them out online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
You have the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from iHeartMedia.
All right, glad you're with us. Happy Monday. And write down our toll-free number. It's 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program. So glad you're with us. Well, if we add to the list, let's see. We're smelly Walmart people, according to Peter Strzok. Irredeemable deplorables, according to Hillary. We are scared Americans that cling to God, our Creator. Our guns, our Bibles, and our religion. Bitter people clinging to those things. And apparently now Rick Wilson, wasn't Rick Wilson, I know he's a big anti-Trump guy and a CNN guy, and I don't really care that he's a never-Trumper guy. That's his business. But now he's saying Trump supporters are not sophisticated people, and they're not bright enough to understand the complexities of a border wall. Well, we're just a bunch of dumb people. What is, I mean, what, if you're not a liberal like him and you don't agree with him, you must be an idiot.
Walls, so is she fail. Right, Rick, about the president's motives here? This wall is just to keep his base's attention off everything
Don,
else?
Don, the wall has always been a con for Donald Trump's credulous, rube, ten-tooth base. The wall has always been a scam. It has always been a lie. Nothing about the wall has ever been real, and Donald Trump knows it. He is a guy who has a long history in his career as being a con man. He is conning these people who believe he's going to build a 2,000-mile, 30-foot-high concrete wall with laser moats and alligators in it. It's just crazy, and it always has been.
Tin tooth. There we go. We have a new one to add to the list. Walls fail. If you build the wall right, it won't fail. That's the whole point. It was never about the full 2,000 miles. It's about the walls in the right places as determined by Border Patrol and ICE, that, of course, the liberal left wants to get rid of. You know, we spent a lot of time last week talking about this Officer Singh, legal immigrant, hero. He was put to rest this weekend, 5-month-old son, and the sanctuary city laws. You got to remember, sanctuary cities and states, what does that mean? So you have what we define as illegal immigrants, illegal aliens. They come to the country. They don't respect our laws, our sovereignty, or our borders. Okay. That is in itself one crime. Then you have a group of those people. Now, and let me tell you, let me back up here. Having been to the border all those times, I have told you in this audience, 12, 13 times, whatever it is, I forget, I should go back and count. But having been from the Rio Grande to San Diego, all-terrain vehicle, horseback, helicopters, boats, foot, been there while a gang member, found out later was a gang member, arrested, been there when families from El Salvador, literally like 15 feet from where me and Governor Perry were on the filming a TV segment together in the Rio Grande, and they had just crossed over illegally and they were caught. But, you know, all of this is going on our southern border. I'll start and I'll concede that I think, and my experience has shown me, that in San Diego in particular, there's one particular border wall area where I was right there at the fence. You could see across the other side. And on the other side, you see nothing but poverty. what we would describe as shacks, the horrible poverty, living conditions, you know, kids playing in what we would define as a junkyard. And on the other side, you got $500,000 homes and prosperity and hope and opportunity. So the people that don't have anything on the other side of the border, I'm pretty sure looking over this side and saying, well, maybe I'll go over there and maybe I can have a better life for my family. That's not what we're talking about. We're just asking those people to go through the process legally, and we have a right to vet those that come into this country. But among those people, if the 99% are good, decent people that want a better life, there's also those people that do not have great intentions if they get to America. And then if you're a sanctuary city or state, well, that means, and you're in the criminal justice system, that means you've committed more crimes on top of the illegal immigration and not respecting our security and border walls and our laws. And then while you're in the criminal justice system, well, normal practice and procedure would be that ICE, Border Patrol, upon your release from incarceration, would pick you up knowing your release date, and they would deport you because now you're a criminal illegal alien that has committed other crimes. And it is for those reasons I am arguing that they are aiding and abetting in further crimes by allowing people to get out of jail and then walk free and not work with ICE and enforce our federal immigration laws. Now, we saw that happen to Officer Singh. You know, we have this case out of Knoxville. This kid's name, now his father, I guess, is a police chief or police captain. His mother wrote a piece. His name, this is a young kid. He's literally 22 years old. His name is Pierce Corcoran. Have you heard his name yet? I bet many of you haven't. He was killed in a car crash by an illegal immigrant. He died December 29th after police say Franco Cabrani Francisco Eduardo swerved into oncoming traffic. This is on Chapman Highway in Knoxville, Tennessee. And Francisco Eduardo is 44, and he's facing charges of criminally negligent homicide, driving without a license or insurance, being held by U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement. His mother, now imagine you lose your 22-year-old son, just like Officer Singh left behind a five-month-old little boy. Anyway, his mother released a blog and says, Pierce Corcoran was only 22 years old when he was killed by an illegal immigrant in a car crash December the 29th, 2018. The post begins. Then it goes on that Franco Cabrini Francisco Eduardo was charged after the wreck that killed 22-year-old Pierce Corcoran. Pierce was born and raised in Knoxville, Tennessee. Responsible, hardworking, loving son, brother, grandson. Pierce's life is to be remembered and celebrated for his relationship with his heavenly father and his love of others and his determination to maintain a healthy lifestyle. Was he perfect? No, but he was taught to care about others and his impact on them. Sorry, I had to cough. No kid is perfect. Of course not. Then it goes on, he was compassionate towards others who might look differently than he or who might speak differently than he. Quote, as we mourn our precious son and try to honor his memory, we're also faced with the fact there's much discussion surrounding his tragic death. For us, there are two issues, safety and responsibility. As it pertains to safety, we are not the first, nor will we be the last to lose a loved one on a road known to many as being dangerous. This is something we feel must be addressed. As it pertains to responsibility, we as parents, we taught all three of our children to be responsible for their actions. We discussed with them their need to maintain their vehicles and always have their license and registration and insurance up to date. Everyone is well aware that the 44-year-old man involved in our 22-year-old's death did not practice the same responsibility and has not done so for 14 years. Yes, it was an accident, and it could have been anyone. It's not about where this man came from. It's the fact that he takes no personal responsibility for his actions, not only in the financial sense, but no responsibility at all. He will most likely face very little jail time when all said and done. He believes he should remain in our country illegally. And not only that we provide his counsel to fight for his rights. We're all aware as a family that nothing is going to bring Pierce back. But don't tell me my son, who lived in this country and followed its rules doesn't deserve better. For God's sakes, out of respect for the men and women who fought and fight to make this country such a desirable place to live, do the right thing and come here legally and become a responsible citizen. Now, this 22-year-old boy Pierce's father is the Knoxville Fire Department Captain DJ Corcoran, and he released a statement in which he thanked the firefighters who helped him return to Knoxville after learning of the news while he was in Memphis. They're never going to see their 22-year-old kid again. And this is the problem. And this is what, you know, for all the sanctimony and all the discussions, when do we ever talk about the people that are victims of crimes here? And this is where I think this whole debate is headed. I don't know how this is going to end with the government shutdown. The president, we expect, is going to have a White House address tomorrow night. I think at 9 o'clock is the scheduled time as of now, I heard. I think that the president's going down to the border later in the week. But obviously, the president's not giving in. There's only one way to stop people from coming into this country illegally on our southern border, and that's to have a border wall. That's the only way that I know. Now, the president is very interesting. You know, if you look at, you know, how do you take seriously somebody like Nancy Pelosi? So the vice president goes to meet with the group of Democrats. They don't even show up. They just send their top aides to meet with the vice president. They're not serious about a solution. You know, Nancy Pelosi says it's immoral to build the wall. Well, that's not what Chuck was saying. That's not what Obama was saying. That's not what Hillary was saying. And that's not what her Democratic Congress voted for just a few short years ago. You know, to accuse Border Patrol agents of gassing children when in fact they were the victims of having rocks and bottles pelted at them. But when you look at the numbers, they're overwhelming. The Department of Homeland Security, as by the way, confirmed by Obama years, ICE officers arrested approximately 235,000 aliens on various charges for fiscal years, two fiscal years, and charges of convictions within the U.S. 4,000 homicides, 4,000 in a two-year period, 30,000 sex crimes, 100,000 assault crimes. Then if you add the fact that 90% of the heroin that comes into America that's impacting every small town and big city in America, 90% of that heroin is coming from our southern border. And that heroin is killing 300 Americans every week. Remember, these kids, they start out with Vicodin, Percocet, OxyContin. They can't afford to buy $80 a pill on the street when they run out of grandma or mom and dad's supply. And then they go to heroin at 10 bucks a bag, and their life for 85% is over at that point. So, that, and if you look at the 300 per week death toll, well, that's about equal to the number of American troops that were killed every week in Vietnam in 1968, which was Vietnam's most deadly year. Vietnam lasted 10 years, resulted in 58,000 dead Americans. Over the same year, 10-year period, American death toll, if you look at drugs, would be nearly three times as high as the total number of troops killed in Vietnam. That's how bad a problem this is. If you look at a few other statistics, we got 17,000 adults at the border with existing criminal records arrested by Customs and Border Protection and border agents. You have one in three migrant women sexually assaulted. This is where the human trafficking element comes in on the journey northward to the U.S. border. We're now averaging 60,000 illegal, inadmissible aliens a month on our southern border. Last month alone, 20,000 minors were smuggled into the U.S. And what is the Democrat, what is Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats' reaction? Well, I reject your facts. That's what she said to Secretary Nielsen. She said, you can't reject a fact. A fact is a fact. And they just keep just putting their head in the sand. Here's the problem. They don't want Trump to get a victory here. That's why the same people that supported it, the same people that voted to fund it, are now against it. And now saying it's immoral. And now saying it's racist. And now saying it's not needed. And it's probably needed more than ever. So I don't know how it ends. I think the president can declare the emergency or make an emergency order that would work. I also think the military can spend a portion of their monies considering it impacts national security. But certainly Congress should do its job too. And whatever the amount is, we should secure the border. And what I like is the president's not backing down. He's looking for any alternative way to get the money so he can build the wall and get the job done. All right, hey, if you're one of 34 million Americans that smokes, you know what a hassle it can be. For me, I'm out playing golf and I come back smelling like cigars. It's the smell on your hands and your breath, your clothes. But now, thanks to Juul, you don't have to worry about it anymore. Juul is a vaporizer. It does contain nicotine for a satisfying transition. Now, when I found Juul, it was a complete game changer in my life. I don't smoke any cigars any longer, and Juul was designed by smokers for smokers to be an alternative to whatever it is you're smoking. So if you're one of 34 million adults who do smoke, cigars, cigarettes, pipe, whatever, well, there is an alternative to all of them. Now, to discover the smoking alternative that's like nothing you've ever tried, just visit juul.com/switchamerica. That's juul.com/switchamerica. Now, warning, this product does contain nicotine, and nicotine is addictive. All right, so with the president speaking, I'm guessing he's going to declare a national emergency. And what's interesting, if you look at the reality of this, even a key Democrat agrees that Trump has the authority to declare that national emergency. George Stephanopoulos had the House Armed Services Committee Chairman, Democrat Adam Smith, on, asked the question, does President Trump have the ability, have the authority to declare a national emergency and have the military build his wall? Smith said, well, unfortunately, the short answer is yes. There is a provision in the law that says the president can declare an emergency. It's been done a number of times, primarily it's been done to build facilities in Afghanistan and Iraq. In this case, I think the president would be wide open to a court challenge. Where's the emergency? Well, the emergency is just in the numbers what we gave you. The emergency is this shouldn't be that hard to figure out, because when you have that many people that are victims of crime happening in this country, that should be enough of a national emergency. Anyway, but so at least we have one Democrat. Look, the problem is that when we play all of these Democrats that all sounded more like Trump than Trump sounded, and now they're so against it and they're saying it's immoral and it's wrong. And, you know, at what point as we keep, especially the criminal aliens that, again, they commit crimes here. We're not talking about people that want to work, have productive lives, build their families, but still didn't obey our immigration laws or respect our borders. But those that then commit crimes and then get aid, and they get aid and support. They're aided and abetted by politicians who adopt sanctuary policies that forbids and prevents ICE from following and literally implementing federal law and deporting them. So what's that thing on your to-do list that you keep avoiding? Maybe is it going to the gym, getting new tires, cleaning the basement? You know, it's funny how home security is kind of like that. You know you need it. You've got an amazing family. You got a nice home. You want to protect it. But there's always maybe something holding you back. Maybe it's the idea of just paying somebody else or scheduling a six-hour installation window. Who has time for this? Well, our friends at Simply Safe Home Security, they have gotten rid of all of the reasons not to get a home security system today. Now, they are the great guys in the home security business. No installation fee, no contract to sign, no markups, professional quality, 24-hour professional monitoring. And guess what? You'll save hundreds of dollars right now on your Simply Safe system with their extended holiday sale. SimplySafe.com/Sean to get this great offer today. The best ever. SimplySafe.com/Sean. But hurry, this holiday sale ends on January the 8th. SimplySafe.com/Sean.
Cincinnati.
Here it's Big John Rich's. So what is it called, the whiskey? He sent us over cases, and we're going to...
Redneck Riviera Whiskey.
Riviera Whiskey.
And when you buy Redneck Riviera Whiskey, you can send a child of a slain soldier to college. He contributes
to that. That's pretty awesome. Well, they did, the Big and Rich do a ton of great stuff. They have the Redneck Riviera in Vegas, which is their bar. And if you are a service member and you go to the back of the bar, you get to do a, you know, free shot. And in this case, I'm sure they're giving out the Redneck Riviera whiskey. And he was the biggest Crown Royal guy ever, and he swears that is better. I don't like the taste of either one of them, personally. Anyway, happy birthday, John Rich.
I think you might want to correct that because we love Redneck Riviera whiskey.
No, I'm saying that's what I was saying.
Just speak for yourself, okay?
Okay, no, I don't love whiskey. I'm not a whiskey drinker. He knows I'm not a whiskey drinker. You know why? Because I've been out with him, and he made me do shots of Crown Royal.
I was there.
It's awful.
I watched that.
It was awful. I mean, you know, you have to acquire a taste. Many of my closest friends, they love scotch, they love whiskey. I don't. And I just never spent the time to acquire the taste that's necessary to love it. But once you apparently get the taste, you love it. My father loved, you know, Seagram's, for crying out loud. Loved it. I'm like, ugh. He didn't drink that much, but he definitely liked it. All right, so here we are. I think the president moving forward, the most important thing that I would say that is most encouraging is that this president in particular was elected as somebody that was meant to be a fighter and a disruptor. And I think that's what absolutely drives the establishment crazy about him. He will not ever conform into what they view as the establishment president that they can control. And literally, he's done such a good job of exposing not only the corruption in government, but he's also exposed that there's another way to thread the needle and actually get things done. And that's to focus like a laser beam on whatever the issue is and drive the agenda. Now, I'm telling you right now, House Democrats, while they may think that there's some political advantage here for them, well, I don't see it. Because the American people understand. And when you go over the numbers, they understand more. Let me repeat. In a fiscal years 2017 and 18, ICE arrested approximately 235,000 aliens on various criminal charges or convictions within the U.S. 4,000 for homicides, 30,000 for sex crimes, and 100,000 for assault. Now, the mainstream media won't give you those numbers. Nancy Pelosi had a bit of a fit and said, well, I don't trust your facts. And then there was a big showdown with Secretary Nielsen over this whole thing. But if the American people really embrace these numbers, and then you look at the case of Officer Singh, or you talk about the case of this, you know, young man that was, I mean, it's just such a tragic story. You know, this young 22-year-old kid that is killed by an illegal immigrant in Knoxville, Tennessee, and, you know, the mother sending out a letter. We're all aware as a family that nothing's going to bring our 22-year-old son Pierce back, but don't tell me my son who lived in this country and followed its rules doesn't deserve better. What parent doesn't agree with that? For God's sakes, out of respect for the men and women who fought and fight to make this country such a desirable place to live, well, do the right thing, come here legally, and become a responsible citizen. I don't think that is not beyond the norm. This is the case the Democrats themselves were making just a few short years ago, which shows the height of hypocrisy. And if we now have in a two-year period, 235,000 aliens arrested on various criminal charges or convictions within the interior United States, beyond just being here illegally, roughly 4,000 for homicide, roughly 30,000 sex crimes, 100,000 for assault. And then you look at 90% of the heroin flow into America is coming across the southern border, obviously illegally, and 300 Americans are killed every week from heroin. Now, you can blame the heroin user, but you can also cut off the supply. And if the supply is coming from our southern border, I think we're doing the right thing by saying, okay, we're going to cut that off. Steve in Maryland, you're on the Sean Hannity Show. What's going on?
John, sorry, I thought I'd have a little
That's
warning.
That's all right. What's up? How are you?
Off my speakerphone. Oh, very good indeed. I'll be brief. Sean, you know, in my business and personal life, I've learned to catch a liar or a thief. You just have to think like them. That being said, I question why are they, the Democrats, okay with electronic and all these high-tech surveillance systems in lieu of a wall when we know that they really are for open borders? And I suspect the reason is if they know, A, Trump will build it if he gets the money. They can't shut down a wall if they regain the presidency or turn off a program or defund a program, which, of course, the media wouldn't report if it was happening under their rules with the electronic surveillance. Kind of hard to hide bulldozers at the border taking down a physical barrier. And I suspect that is their main driving reason in being so opposed to a physical barrier because they, quite frankly, it's harder to undo.
Listen, I agree with you. But, you know, unless the American people understand, and remember, the media's got a role in this agenda here, that you've got, you know, 17,000 adults at the border with existing criminal records arrested by Customs and Border Protection border agents. You know, look at the human trafficking side. We talked about drug trafficking and heroin trafficking. One in three. Now, think of the migrant caravan. And the fact that we have hundreds of missing people, we're told. They just disappeared. And then we were told that there were sexual assaults going on. But according to DHS statistics that I guess Pelosi and Schumer don't want us to talk about, the media will cover for them. But one in three migrant women are sexually assaulted on the journey northward to the U.S. You know, we're now averaging, again, Department of Homeland Security, 60,000 illegal and inadmissible aliens a month at our southern border. The wall is going to make their job easier. The wall is going to hopefully at least stem and then stop the flow of drugs and human trafficking. You know, what the reaction to this is, Nancy Pelosi says, well, I reject your facts. Well, how do you reject a fact, as Secretary Nielsen said? That's why I think the president's case is strong in terms of it being a national emergency. I think the president, it's also he is the commander in chief. And if he views this rightly as a national security issue, I think he has the ability to take funds from the Defense Department. I frankly don't care where he gets the money from. You know, it's but the fact that he's fighting hard, he'll have a national address tomorrow night, and he apparently is going down to the border on Thursday. He's fighting to defend our borders. He's fighting to keep a campaign promise. That's what he was elected to do. That's why people admire him. That's why people support him. You know, and I've heard a lot of people, you don't think he's going to back down, do you? I one way or another, I think he's going to get the money for this wall. That's my guess. Obviously, he hasn't given in yet. Now, the Democrats, they, at some point, if they're too cute by half and they just keep saying, we'll give you a dollar. You want a dollar? How do you explain I'll give you a dollar to families, angel moms and dads that lost loved ones as a result of being killed by illegal immigrants? You know, being down there 13 times, I learned a lot. Sitting in that briefing with then Governor Perry, 642,000 crimes, including some murder, committed against Texans alone in a seven-year period. It should have shocked people then. But he's been the one person that says, I'm going to get this done. And he's in the process of fighting hard to make it happen. Let's go to Bob is in Pittsburgh, PA. What's up, Bob? How are you, sir?
Hi, Sean. I'll get right to the point. You know, the president announced he's going down to the border Thursday. And I surely hope someone close to him is listening today because he has a golden opportunity here. That is to invite Chuck and Nancy to go with him. Take them down there with all the reporters, all the cameras. Let them talk to those Border Patrol agents on camera.
Why would you even think they'd show up when they wouldn't even show up for a meeting with the vice president?
Okay, even by inviting him, he gains a huge advantage. And if they refuse, that makes them look even worse. Get them down there on camera, then let them explain why they won't fund that wall after all those Border Patrol agents will literally plead with them, but invite them. That's the key. Make them look bad. Force their hand. Invite them to go. And if they won't go, it makes them look even worse.
I agree with you. I think you should publicly do it. Yeah, but I love seeing Chuck and Nancy down there at the southern border. That'll be interesting.
You see what happened when he had them in the Oval Office the last time with all the cameras. They folded like a cheap bingo hall chair.
Yeah, look, they think their hand is stronger than it actually is, but at the end of the day, it's not.
You have to call their bluff. You have to force their hand. Invite them. Invite them very publicly. Make them go and make them explain why if they won't.
I think that's a great idea. And if you want to call your switchboard, Linda loves to give out the switchboard number.
I do love to give out the switchboard number. Why don't you love it?
I use it on a rare occasions.
This
when
is a rare occasion.
What do you want to say? You want to say Nancy and Chuck go down to the border with Trump on Thursday?
Yeah, call in.
Call in.
Talk to the general operator.
The talk line for the switchboard.
And just let them know. Chuck and Nancy, don't fill your date books on Thursday. Find your way to Texas.
They should go.
Talk to the Border Patrol folks that are working the border that you don't want to protect.
And the fake news media, they should also go.
They should all go.
Yeah, let them go down and sweat and have a good time.
I don't think they should have a good time. I think they should suffer.
It's not about that. I just wonder, when you hear the numbers, nobody in the media has interviewed these angel moms and dads. I have. These people never take the time to do their job. You go in a drug warehouse with that just reeks to high heaven. Floor to ceiling, drugs, and drugs that are targeting your kids. What do you think it's about? Now you add fentanyl to the equation of, $10 bags of heroin. There are great shows if you haven't seen them. Nat Geo has one, Drugs. It's worth watching. Showtime has one called Trade. They literally trace the beginnings and the manufacturing areas in Mexico where they make this crap. Now, that doesn't mitigate responsibility of individuals, et cetera. But, if you stop, one of the problems that we're having with this opioid epidemic is this. These kids think it's really cool, and they get grandma, grandpa, mom, or dad's pain pills after they have an operation. And, there's 50 pills in the bottle. And they and their friends, they start, taking Vicodin, Percocet, OxyContin. And the next thing you know, they like it. And, I feel great. And the next thing you know, they're buying them on the street. And it's expensive to buy a pill on the street. Some cases, like $80 a pill. But now, all of a sudden, they're craving it. And the next thing is, one of their genius friends will suggest heroin as an even bigger high for only $10 a bag. And then they might start sniffing it or whatever, and then eventually end up mainlining it, and their life is over. I think the recidivism rate for drug addiction for heroin is like 85%. I think only 15%. You take that first shot of heroin, and the odds are only 15% you'll get your life back. And that means years of addiction and leading to death. It is a dark, evil path in this world towards death. And you've got these people that are peddling it, and they're running it right up our southern border. Human trafficking right up our southern border. You have criminals that also, gang members, and then you also have the potential terrorists that can cross the border as well. And they've been caught also. And at some point, these people that say, no, we don't need a border. It's immoral to have a border. Well, what's immoral about a border wall? By that, if that's their argument, then the one that's up, they should be advocating for tearing it down. But securing our borders and enforcing our laws and having respect for the sovereignty of the United States of America, considering what's happening down there, is just simple, basic common sense. This is not difficult. And what's different is you got a president that's fighting. And he probably needs all the support he can get. Because you're going to have weak senators and congressmen. Their legs are beginning to go wobbly. Some of them are ready. Now, there might be some compromise involved in it. Shouldn't involve any path to citizenship. Well, let's see what they come up with. All right, listen, our friends at Chamonix, get this. They have done it again. At some point, you got to look at the radical left and their reluctance and resistance to protect the borders in light of crimes, by the small minority, but still, those are innocent Americans impacted. Oh, you're racist. Oh, it's immoral. Oh, it's racist. Well, who do we have more sympathy for here? The traffickers, the drug traffickers, the human traffickers, or the brave men and women and the citizens of this country? Because that's the choice now. All right, hour two, Sean Hannity Show, toll-free telephone number is 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Looks like the president is going to address the nation tomorrow night at 9. Wouldn't be a good idea with the national championship on tonight, but and it appears he may be going down to the border on Thursday. The president now has been saying over and over again that things are so bad that he might declare a national emergency to get the border wall built. Now, what's interesting about that, you got a key Democrat now agreeing that the president has that authority to declare a national emergency to build the border wall. And in spite of, well, I don't trust your facts or believe your facts, Nancy Pelosi, well, the numbers that I went over in the last hour are real. And those are the number of crimes. That's the cost per American citizen. This is the difficulty and the seriousness of the issue. Anyway, Fox News contributor, New York Times bestselling author, former congressman from Utah, Jason Chaffetz is with us. How are you, sir?
Hey, Sean. Glad to be with you.
All right. To me, it's the president would have the authority to declare this a national emergency just based on the numbers and based on what we're facing, drug trafficking, human trafficking, national security issues, gang members crossing the border, potential terrorists crossing the border. To me, that's part of the president's role as commander in chief, no?
Yeah, no, I do think he has that authority. You combine on top of that Congress previously, and including so many of the Democrats in the Senate, they've previously approved and authorized. So the building of a structure on the border is authorized by law by Congress. So it's not a big stretch to then reallocate some resources. It happens all the time in almost every department and agency, and the president clearly has the authority to do this.
But you look at the numbers, fiscal year 2017 and 18, ICE officers, and I know Democrats want to eliminate ICE, they have arrested approximately 235,000 aliens on various criminal charges or convictions within the interior of the United States, 4,000 of those homicides, 30,000 sex crimes, 100,000 assaults, 300 Americans, you know, killed every week from heroin. Most of it, 90%, is flooding in from the southern border. How is that not a national emergency if you compare those numbers? You know, 300 per week death toll as it relates to heroin. Well, that's more than American troops were killed in the year 1968 in Vietnam.
No, you're absolutely right. And Brandon Judd, who heads up the Border Patrol Union, I heard him say, and I visited with him personally today, more than 800,000 times the Border Patrol is going to apprehend somebody coming north across our border. That's how many times 800,000 people are going to be apprehended. And they're guessing, they're just guessing, Sean, that they're only getting one out of every two. So there's another 800,000 that are successfully coming across the border. That's how bad it is. These guys are asking for an impediment, a wall, a barrier to help them do their jobs. The president is on the right side of this issue.
What is the difference in between Obama just deciding on his own to open up the banks and send $1.7 billion to the Iranian mullahs without any congressional approval, or, you know, Obama lifts the freeze on a $192 million aid package to the Palestinian Authority? What would be the difference in those cases, if there's any?
Well, I wrote an op-ed for FoxNews.com a week or two ago. More than $300 billion in the last year of the Obama administration was appropriated and spent by President Obama for programs that were not authorized by Congress. And you can go to the Congressional Budget Office and look at it year by year. It's normally north of $200 billion, but it happens all the time. And the other number, the stat I want people to recognize, what a sea change it is with Donald Trump versus Barack Obama. Under Barack Obama, there were 80,000 people that were here illegally, got caught, committed a crime, convicted of that crime, and instead of deporting them, he just released them to the interior.
Well, I mean, It's unbelievable. Do you have a, for example, don't you think it's better for everybody on both sides of the wall? We've now seen two instances where we had the migrant caravan and then on New Year's Eve, Border Patrol and ICE members being pelted with rocks and bottles by people that are rushing the wall. Isn't it in the safety and security of everybody? Isn't it in everyone's best interest to put this up? And how do Democrats that were once supporting this now justify saying that it's immoral and racist when they themselves supported it?
Yeah, you know, and if they're going to go the way of Nancy Pelosi, then put a bill on the floor that says, hey, we're going to take down the existing wall. I dare them to do that. Try to do that. They would never do that. It's ridiculous. It is absolutely irresponsible. And you know what? We're failing the people that are trying to come legally and lawfully. They're not trying to break the law. They're not trying to sneak across the border. All this time and resources have been spent. And you know what? Donald Trump is not getting enough credit for what his administration has been able to do to secure this agreement with Mexico to make sure those applying for asylum stay on the Mexican side of the border, and the wall helps with that.
What did you think this weekend when the president had offered to have his team of three people sit down, offered them a dozen seats at the table, as many as they wanted? He sends the vice president in to lead the discussions for his team, and none of these congressmen or women show up, or senators show up. And then you get congressional aides sitting down with the vice president of the United States. So they want to abolish ICE. They accuse Border Patrol agents of gassing children. They make comparisons with the Klan, in the case of Kamala Harris. And they call a border wall immoral and think a dollar is enough for the border wall. How do you have a negotiation under those circumstances?
I wish every day the president with the cameras rolling would put Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and those nameplates out there, let Brandon Judd and some of the other people, Hector Garza, put real Border Patrol agents in there and have them sit there and explain to the Border Patrol, federal employees who supposedly Democrats really like, and tell them why they're wrong and that they should do it without a border. It makes no sense, Sean. Absolutely.
What do you see this going politically as time goes on? I guess now tied for the third longest shutdown in history, but a government shutdown does not particularly scare me, as I know it does scare other people. I want to make sure that essential services are provided, and as far as I know, they are, and our military's running, and Homeland Security is up and running, and grandma and grandpa are getting the Social Security checks, and there might be some gaps that we have to fill in here, and I want the furloughed employees to get back pay, which always happens. So at what point is this a negative for the president to stand up for securing the borders?
I don't think most people have noticed it. I do feel for those people who work in, say, Homeland Security or the Department of Justice to not get a check. Not everybody can survive for a month or 6 weeks without getting a check. And so, you know, the normal pinch points where it causes a lot of pain, the military, the VA, all of that, that's all been taken care of. Those things are already funded. So, want to get it done sooner rather than later. But other than seeing a lot of garbage, you know, piling up at our national parks, hey, step up, volunteer, and empty those garbage cans yourself. But let's have this national discussion on national security and the border. And I think the overwhelming majority of Americans are on the side of more security and locking down that border.
It seems like the media, though, is hell-bent on not telling the facts that, like, look what happened when Nancy Pelosi was having a discussion with Secretary Nielsen and just shut her down. I don't agree with your so-called facts. And Kirstjen Nielsen said, there's not so-called, these are the facts. And the same facts existed in the Obama years as well.
No, they refuse to listen to it. It's an embarrassment that Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer went into the White House in the Situation Room. The secretary was going to give a briefing only to have them, you know, shut her off and not even listen to it. But that's what this national address tomorrow night, I think, is apt to do, is for the president to lay out the facts. It just literally just remind people 800,000 people apprehended on the border, and we've got to slow them down. And then tell some of the emotional stories, because a lot of these other networks, when these two police and the police officer in Northern California was gunned down by somebody who is here illegally, guess what? Many of these other networks didn't even carry the story.
We heard and we're watching this new radical Democratic Party. We saw Ocasio-Cortez on 60 Minutes last night. We have this another congresswoman. We're going to impeach the MF-er. Then you've got the full-on canon of subpoenas And we're getting more and more insight into what they want every day beyond eliminating the Electoral College, which I found pretty interesting. They want to redo the Mueller investigation. They want to literally get every tax return only of Donald Trump. Nancy Pelosi introduced a bill to force presidents, but not members of Congress, to release their tax returns. They want, you know, literally to go through every foundation, every crevice. At what point does the American people stop and look at this and say, OK, we understand you hate the president. How does this help us in any way?
You know, it really is a sad turn that the Democrats have taken. I'm all about openness and transparency, but you cannot use the tools and levers of government to go on these political witch hunts to just try to destroy people without some underlying evidence that there is something criminal that has gone wrong. And the doors that they are opening now, they will pay the political price over the long term. I think the American people get it. You should not be able to use these as bludgeoning tools in a fishing expedition to try to hope that they can put and couple something together. And I think they're going to overreach. I think that they have an insatiable desire to do something that they couldn't win at the ballot box. They want to change those rules. The rules package that they just changed, Sean, one of the things they got rid of, for instance, is no more debt ceiling votes. No more pressure on members of Congress to vote whether or not to raise a debt ceiling. They're now going to deem that. They got rid of that in the rules package very quietly, and nobody reported on it. So there's a number of things that they've already been able to change that are a shame. And I think people eventually, over time, will start to understand how politically deceiving and motivated these people are, as opposed to truth, justice, equality, and liberty.
You know Mitt Romney very well. You also live in Utah. That's your home. We know that in 2016, he came out harshly against Donald Trump. Okay, but then when he was running for the Senate, he wanted Donald Trump's endorsement. He sought it. He got it. And then he comes out with the op-ed. And I'm thinking, what's Mitt's end game here? That Mitt wants to, you know, replace Jeff Flake, John McCain, and wants to be the Republican that supposedly is liked by the press. By the way, the same press that eviscerated him in 2012 for having women's resumes and binders.
Yeah, I am sorely disappointed in the turn that Senator now Mitt Romney took. He readily accepted the president's endorsement. He rode the Trump train through the election in October, asked three times his feelings about Donald Trump, and he said he essentially had no disagreements with him. And then to blast him for really no reason is a sad turn. The senator.
You think he's thinking about planning a challenge, either a primary challenge or a third party challenge?
I hope not. I mean, he was elected to be the center of Utah to solve problems. His op-ed created a problem. It didn't solve a problem. And that's not what he wouldn't become the senator from Utah if he had. Taken this stance such a harsh way at the beginning, and he didn't do that. And I think it's disingenuous to take a turn that before he was even sworn in.
It seems calculated for sure.
Party. Yeah, a bad move. As Senator Mike Lee said, you know, hopefully the Senator Romney takes a mulligan and we can move on, but we'll see.
All right, Congressman Jason Chaffetz, now Fox News contributor. Thanks for being with us. Let's hit our phones here. We got about 90 seconds. Sherman is in New York, the all-new AM 710 WOR. How are you, Sherman? Happy New Year. Glad you called, sir.
Pleasure to be on your phone. Thank you, Sean.
What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to bring up something that I haven't heard anyone discuss about, is the perspectives from some legal immigrants that have come to this country, my wife being one, and actually I work with a coworker that's a recent immigrant to the United States.
Yeah, you know, so she's legal, and how does she feel about people that don't go through the lengthy process that she went through?
Well, her and my coworker both, they feel like they're not being listened to. They kind of feel a little jealous that there's an awful lot of focus on those that are the dreamers and such, that a lot is being offered to them. She was never offered any type of package for her education or otherwise. They had to go through the lengthy process to prove that, who are you? Medically, are you sound? Do you have a medical criminal background, excuse me, to make sure that, you're a law-abiding person to come to the country and come into the States. I don't think a lot of people realize, too, is when you're a resident and not a citizen, you're always still at the scrupulous point that if you did do something wrong, you could always be sent back at any time, regardless of because you've come to the country as essentially a welcome guest.
Well, listen, I just think most Americans are open to immigration. That's where all of our families came from. We are a nation of immigrants. But the fact is, in this day and age, with the reality of drugs, human trafficking, the reality of gangs, the reality of terrorism, it's a new world in a different environment. And the idea that we're going to do it legally and insist on it being done legally, and we're going to vet, and we're going to make sure you can take care of yourself, that the American taxpayers can't afford all of this, is a reasonable request. All right, we'll take a break. We'll continue our Hannity Border Watch Government Shutdown Watch segment on the other side. Brandon Judd is the president of the National Border Patrol Council. He'll join us. Congressman Lee Zeldin of New York. He sits on the House Foreign Affairs and Financial Services Committee. That and more as we continue.
Just wanted to explain to folks that I'm with on the dais, people I've known very well over the last 2 years, people that have been extremely supportive of what we're doing on the border. They're tough. They're smart. They think, they love our country. They have every quality, and I'll tell you what, I really know them well, and they have the kind of qualities that we need in our country, and they've done a fantastic job at the border. Brandon, please. Thank you.
Thank you, President.
Thank
we
you.
Really
Thank
appreciate
you.
All the support that you've given the Border Patrol. We appreciate the support that you've given ICE. My name is Brandon Judd. I'm the president of the National Border Patrol Council. I've been a Border Patrol agent for 21 years. I can personally tell you from the work that I have done on the southwest border that physical barriers, that walls actually work. You hear a lot of talk that there are experts that say that walls don't work. I promise you that if you interview Border Patrol agents, they will tell you that walls work. We need those physical barriers, and we appreciate President Trump and all of his efforts in getting us those physical barriers. There's also a lot of talk on this shutdown that federal employees do not agree with the shutdown. I will tell you that's not true.
Thank you, everybody. My name is Art Del Cueto. I am a vice president with the National Border Patrol Council. And I want everybody to take the time to understand what's going on. We are all affected by this shutdown. We have skin in the game. However, it comes down to border security. And we are extremely grateful to President Trump, and we fully support what he is doing to take care of our nation's borders, to take care of the future of this United States. It has nothing to do with political parties. We fully support the president and all his efforts to secure our nation's borders.
Hello, everyone. My name is Hector Garza. I'm the Vice President of the National Border Patrol Council. I am also a Border Patrol agent of the Texas border. I just want to talk about some of those criminals that Border Patrol agents apprehend on a daily basis. We're talking about murderers, rapists, people that commit very serious crimes in this country. ICE has been doing an amazing job in deporting a lot of these people back to their countries. Unfortunately, once we deport these people will not stay in their country. These criminal aliens that have been released from jail, that have been deported, will come right back into the United States. However, if we had a physical barrier, if we had a wall, we would be able to stop that. Again, we want to thank President Trump for advocating for Border Patrol agents. And again, we ask our congressmen to fund border security and fund the border wall. Thank you.
Sir, is there any situation in which you would accept even a dollar of wall funding for this president in order to reopen the government?
A dollar? A dollar. $1? Yeah, $1.
All right, Nancy, you know, this was a good point that I thought was made by Senator Graham. How do you possibly negotiate with people that think it's immoral and racist to build it, although they had a very different opinion just a few years ago? Brandon Judd is the president of the National Border Patrol Council, 20 years active Border Patrol veteran. He was on stage with the president last week as we were listening to these brave men and women that put their lives on the line every day. Also, Congressman Lee Zeldin of New York. He sits on the House Foreign Affairs and Financial Services Committees. Welcome, both of you. The point that I think we need to emphasize here is, will the walls work?
Well, of course they will. But before we get into that, please, you know, we appreciate all the times that you've been down to the border. But personally, having seen it, you can speak from that firsthand. I can tell you personally that when politicians encourage people to break our laws, you get more people doing it. And that's what's happening today. We have politicians that are pandering to people that are breaking our laws, which is then encouraging more people to come. And that's where the wall comes in. We have to be able to physically keep people from entering the country illegally. There's nothing that can be done minus physical barriers. And that's what President Trump has looked at, and that's what he continues to look at. And that's why he's pushing so hard for those barriers, so that we can physically keep people out. And that we cannot do at this point in time.
You know, one of the things that I've talked about and I've shown often on television is the drug warehouses themselves. Now, I only saw one. It was probably one of the biggest warehouses I ever remember being in. And I don't know if you, I assume in the 20 some odd years you've worked on the border, you probably have been in them yourself. And the stench is almost unbearable. If you would agree with that assessment?
Oh, it's the stench in drug warehousing, but it's equally, if not worse, in these stash houses where they put people. If you saw the way these smugglers treat these people, but again, it's our politicians that are encouraging these people to put themselves in the hands of the smugglers. These politicians that claim to want to protect people, that want to that claim that they love the sanctity of life, they're the ones that continue to encourage these people to put themselves in the hands of these smugglers. They get put in these stash houses where they're treated like animals. There's very few places to use the restroom. There's very little food, little water, you know, all of these things. And so it baffles me that they claim on one hand to really want to help people, but on the other hand, they allow these smugglers to continue this multi-billion dollar industry in both human and drug trafficking. That's got to stop.
And Congressman Zeldin, who's, by the way, a congressman from Long Island, New York, and, you know, look at the 300 Americans killed every week from heroin, 90% of that heroin, and it is a problem in your district in Long Island, in New York, and it's a bigger problem in every small town, big city now. We call it the opioid problem, and what we have our kids getting first addicted to these pain pills, Vicodin, Oxycontin, Percocets, then they can't pay $80 a pill on the street, and then these $10 bags of heroin, 90% of it coming from our southern border, becomes their next stop, and that is basically a death sentence for people. That's more people killed than what was happening during the height of the Vietnam War in 1968.
This is bigger than just people who are crossing illegally. It's us about things that are coming across illegally as well. I have been to too many wakes for young men, young women who are overdosing. The heroin and opioid abuse epidemic, and it is an epidemic, is plaguing my constituents in Suffolk County, but it's all across the entire country. We care about combating drug trafficking, human trafficking, sex trafficking. We have an MS-13 problem in Suffolk County and on Long Island. The president has been to Suffolk County multiple times and has done a great job in confronting this crisis head on. We want to see the illegal immigration crisis at our border confronted, not only to stop people from crossing illegally, but also things to protect national security and public safety. And that's where my constituents are at, and that is why we want those in Washington, that the congressional Democrats who are refusing to negotiate with the president, they are unwilling to compromise. They're talking about morality. What really is immoral is for them not taking their oath seriously enough to be willing to negotiate with this president, with Republicans, for what helps protect our
country.
They
won't even sit down with the vice president of the United States. So we talked about this police officer, Singh, that was killed out in California, and the sheriff out there is tied a lot of this to the sanctuary city laws that prevent ICE from going in. In other words, you have not only the laws broken on illegal immigration, people coming here illegally, but then they become criminals within the country. And then they're within our justice system. And ICE normally, without sanctuary city, or in the case of California, sanctuary state protections, ICE would identify them. And then on their release date from prison, they would then therefore be deported. That is now being prevented from happening. In other words, they're aiding and abetting pretty much the law breaking that continues. Well, on top of the officer Singh, a hero who was put to rest this weekend, we have a case in Knoxville, Tennessee, where another illegal immigrant criminal in the justice system, you know, literally the mother of a young man, Pierce Corcoran, I think is his name, from Knoxville, Tennessee. She released a statement: as we mourn our precious son and try to honor his memory, we're also faced with the fact that there is much discussion surrounding his tragic death. For us, there are two issues, safety and responsibility. As it pertains to safety, we are not the first, nor will we be the last to lose a loved one on a road to known to many as dangerous. This is something we feel must be addressed. As it pertains to responsibility, we as parents, well, we taught all three of our children to be responsible for their actions. We discussed with them their need to maintain their vehicles, always have their license, registration, insurance up to date. And everyone is well aware that the 44-year-old man and our 22-year-old son's death did not practice the same responsibility and has not done so for 14 years. I mean, how do you even respond to that if you're a Democrat that won't even sit down with the vice president of the United States and you refer to ICE agents, Brandon, as compare them to the Klan or say that they're immoral and racist?
You know, why, if you're an illegal alien and you were allowed to break our laws, why would you think that any other laws are important in this country? And that's, again, when you look at it from a political standpoint, all this has become is become an argument over rhetoric. It's become an argument of how can we keep power? How can we get people in our base? And I'm talking about the liberal base. How can we get people to vote for us? And all they do is they pander to these individuals that break our laws. They're going to come here. They're not going to think that any other laws are important if they were allowed to break the immigration laws. They do not consider our laws important, and they prove it over and over and over again.
So the last sentence, Lee Zeldin, in this statement by the family in Knoxville goes, "We're all aware as a family that nothing will bring Pierce back. But don't tell me my son, who lived in this country, followed its rules, doesn't deserve better. For God's sakes, out of the respect for the men and women who fought and fight to make this country such a desirable place to live, do the right thing and come here legally and become a responsible citizen." Pretty powerful remarks.
It is. They're angry. They want to make sure that something positive comes from the loss, from the sacrifice that they are going through. And they're able to just call it for what it is in Washington. They know that this isn't about money. This is about giving President Trump a win. Where you're talking about infrastructure, and if you made $1.5 trillion, if you said, well, let's make it $2.5 trillion without even asking what you're going to spend the other $1 trillion on infrastructure on, they would say yes. They'd be happy to add $1 trillion. So it's not about the money. It's only a few billion dollars that the president's asking for. They just passed new rules in the House where you're going to automatically be increasing the debt limit without a separate debate and vote. This isn't about money. It's preventing the president from getting a win. And these victims' families are frustrated when they see this opposition pledging to resist, oppose, impeach, obstruct everything and anything, and then something positive can't come from the loss that they are unfortunately having to deal with. They want this to ensure that other families aren't going to experience what they're going to experience and that lessons are being learned. But politicians, partisanship, politics is preventing that from happening, and they're angered by it.
Well, I think they have a right. You know, this is the thing that I don't understand. How many more people have to die before we realize we can prevent this death? How many more, you know, if 90% of the heroin that's killing American kids is coming from our southern border, why isn't that, where's the moral imperative there? The idea that your colleagues on the Democratic side, Congressman Zeldin, they sounded like Donald Trump before Donald Trump ever thought about running for president. But now all of a sudden, I think Brandon's right. They don't want to give the president the win or the perception of the win. But in the process, some people are dying. Human and drug trafficking continues. Gang members and potential terrorists have access to our open borders, not just the 99% that want a better life for their families.
But it's all about politics and power, and they actually want to go further than this. In New York State, I mean, you're talking about California and sanctuary city policies. Now we have one-party rule up in Albany. We're going to be seeing sanctuary state policies coming from not just California, but now from New York as well. So they're actually trending to go in the opposite direction. They are campaigning for votes where they're calling ICE agents thugs. That's something that Governor Cuomo had to do in order to beat Cynthia Nixon. You had state senators, new state senators in New York, who won their primaries because they were socialists. There was a time of day when you called a Democrat a socialist, that was politically incorrect, that was insulting, and they would push back on it. Now, if you say that they're not a socialist, they'll be offended and they'll push back on it. So I'm actually concerned when you ask your question of how many more people are going to have to suffer, how many more victims will there be? Actually, with their policies, they're going to be encouraging more of it, and they're winning elections in power because of it. So things will actually get worse before they get better, as long as the American people keep putting gavels in the hands of, Maxine Waters and Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi, versus learning our lesson in 2020 and ensuring. We need to ensure that we are electing Donald Trump president of the United States, we're keeping the Senate Republican, and we're flipping back the House, and then holding Republicans accountable to ensure that they do a better job next time that they're in the majority to keep their word and fulfill their promises.
I want to thank you both for being with us. Congressman Zeldin, New York, thank you. And also Brandon Judd, president of the National Border Patrol Council. My many thanks to you and your agents.
The Klan was what we would call today a domestic terrorist group.
Why? Why would we call them domestic terrorist group?
Because they tried to use fear and force to change political environment.
And what was the motivation for the use of fear and force?
It was based on race and ethnicity.
Right. Are you aware of the perception of many about how the power and the discretion at ICE is being used to enforce the laws? And do you see any parallels?
I do not see any parallels between officers and agents.
I'm talking about perception.
I do not see a parallel between what is constitutionally mandated as it relates to enforcing the law.
Are you aware that there's a perception?
I see no.
Are you aware that there's a perception?
That puts ICE in the same category as the KKK. Is that what you're asking me?
All right, News Roundup, Information Overload Hour. We'll get to your calls, I promise, this hour. Toll-free 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. One of the things that we're really going to be focused on, and it's like literally fishing, in a barrel. It's simple. It's easy. Is the fact that every second, minute, hour of every day, you have all these varying groups that just hate Donald Trump. And this is now the radical left that is trying to get a foothold as a political party, calling themselves Democrats, but it's the most radical, most left-wing it's ever been. You know, if you look at the list of investigations that the Democrats want to go into, it is a never-ending list, but none of the items on that list is going to help any American in any way. And I kept telling you during the election, they're not telling you what they stand for, that they want their crumbs back, they want to open borders, they want to eliminate ICE, that they want Obamacare on steroids and they want to repeal the tax cuts. All the things, all the progress we made, they want to retreat. And they think the best way to get there is to just destroy Trump. And at the very least, they want to just bloody him up politically. So by the time he gets to 2020 for reelection, he's going to be so battered and beaten that they think they'll just walk right back into the White House. But success actually matters in a lot of these issues. So I'm watching this weekend, and the new rising star of the Democratic Party, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, no question at all that Donald Trump is a racist. None whatsoever. Here's what she said.
About President Trump very much.
No.
Why?
No. Because I think he's a symptom of a problem.
What do you mean?
The president certainly didn't invent racism. But he's certainly given a voice to it and expanded it and created a platform for those things.
Do you believe President Trump is a racist?
Yeah, yeah, no question.
Okay, so that is the left, same demonization that you get every two, every 4 years, and that's the narrative they want to push. But this is the new radical left Democratic Party. I think Nancy Pelosi is going to have a hard time, and she slants radically left. You think of what happened last week. You have this new congresswoman, first day on the job, referring to the president as an MF-er, that we're going to impeach the MF-er. Listen to this.
People love you, and you win. Woo! And when your son looks at you and says, Mama, look, you won, bullies don't win. And no. I said, baby, they don't, because we're going to go in there, we're going to impeach the motherfucker.
That is your Democratic Party. Now, I told you at the start of last week when we got back from vacation that there's only the media basically is one voice. I don't care if it's the Washington Post. I don't care if it's the New York Times, whatever paper it happens to be. They're all slanting solidly anti-Trump and left. You look at any of the broadcast networks. Their narrative is decidedly anti-Trump, hate Trump, and left. The two cable channels besides the Fox News channel, they slant hate Trump every second, every minute, every hour of every day. And I think, and they're feeding a narrative to their audience. In my idea, in my mind, they are creating such false hope. At some point, their audience is going to be brought to the altar of impeachment so many times only to be disappointed that they're going to be, there's going to be a backlash for this, but we'll wait and see. So there's got to be a more rational venue discussion for what really matters in this country. At the end of the day, they're never going to talk about the 312,000 jobs created in the month of December. They're not going to talk about the economic growth. They're not going to talk about America now for the first time in decades is energy independent. They're not going to give you the statistics we gave you earlier today about the number of murders, the crime statistics against Americans and the drugs coming into our cities and towns. And they're not going to talk about the impact of open borders. They have one agenda. It is to dismantle a duly elected president, and they'll do it by any means necessary. And what's going to happen is I think they've also set people up for an expectation that Robert Mueller is going to have this big smoking gun, and they're going to be able to just walk in and impeach Donald Trump. Well, there was no Trump-Russia collusion. And every crime that we're seeing here and that they've been talking about pretty much is a process crime, having nothing to do with Russia, nothing to do with the Trump campaign at all. And they've tried to make every nefarious, phony, false allegation that they can come up with. So as they slant more solidly left, somebody's got to be a check on them. And that's where we come in. We're going to be Hannity Watch on the border, Hannity Watch the truth on the shutdown, the hypocrisy, Hannity Watch on hypocrisy. All these Democrats that now say it's immoral to build a wall, many of these same people voted to fund and made the case to build the wall on the southern border. Many of them did. Same thing on the economy. They're not going to tell you. Record low unemployment, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, African Americans, women in the workplace. They won't tell you those numbers. And as a result, we have the biggest information crisis that we've ever had in this country's history. Then you've got Hollywood. Okay, well, let's go to the Golden Globe Awards last night. And this great moment by, what's this guy's name? Christian Bale.
Thank you to that geezer over there, Adam. He said, I've got to find somebody who can be absolutely charisma-free and reviled by everybody. So he went, that's got to be Bale in it. You know, thank you. And for all the competition, I will be cornering the market on charisma-free. What do you think? Mitch McConnell next? That could be good, couldn't it? Thank you to Satan for giving me inspiration on how to play this role.
Okay, that's Hollywood out of touch. Hollywood wonders. There's been so many articles. Hollywood's not as rich as it used to be, and as much as, you know, all those high salaries, all these actors and actresses were used to getting because of the decline in the box office, they're not getting paid the big checks that they used to, or they're getting percentages of what the gross might happen to be, and they have to invest in themselves a little bit. I would say probably within a decade, Hollywood, as you know, it is going to be dead because there are too many outlets and areas that are producing quality films and documentaries and series. They don't need the networks. They don't need Hollywood. They'll build their own network to compete. And if people like it, they're going to buy it and they're going to watch it and they're going to flock to it. So what we're going to see and what we'll describe is very predictable. It is going to be a daily diet of hatred, and it is visceral. It is the media. It is the Democratic Party. It are these deep state operatives. Then you've got the Never Trumpers and the weak Republicans. They'll join forces, but they'll never get to where they want. Look at the investigation list. They're calling it a cannon of subpoenas, as now the Democrats and the biggest liar in Congress, Adam Schiff, He wants to literally go back and redo the entire Mueller investigation that has been going on for 2 years. But nothing, of course, on his deep state friends and operatives, because they were doing the bidding of Democrats anyway from the get-go. And they're going to go after every cabinet official that they can go after. Even Betsy DeVos is one of their big targets. Then they're going to try and target Donald Trump's taxes. And that was kind of my favorite story from the weekend, is Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats put forward a bill that any president has to hand over 10 years worth of tax returns, but not members of Congress. What is, she's rich. Why don't we get her tax returns? Why don't we find out how much she spends every year on what? How much charitable donation is going from her family foundation? We can look into that. But the agenda is the agenda. They want to make sure that they keep Obamacare, that they stop the wall from being built. They don't want economic progress. Understand, for the Democrats to win power in 2 years, Republicans must fail. They must create an image, at least, of failure, or at least chaos, and create a fatigue factor that people, it just may not be worth it. And then they also have to offer an alternative. And what we're going to see throughout this year is, as all these 2020 candidates get in the mix here, is they are all going to try and out-socialist the other. Elizabeth Warren, radical leftist. Joe Biden may decide, and we're told in as little as 2 weeks, if he's thinking about running. Elizabeth Warren, she goes to Iowa. First question is about her DNA test and Native American heritage. She's got a credibility problem. Now you have Democrats seemingly leaking about Bernie Sanders and accusing his campaign of being sexist. Then you have all these, you know, Spartacus, I think, wants to get in. Kamala Harris wants to get in. And they all, but I don't see that, or Bozo wants to get in. I don't see that any of them understand free markets, understand national security, understand the only thing they're going to do is hate Trump. But if the economy stays strong, if the president keeps getting foreign policy wins, if the president stands strong on his border wall and continues to fight for that which he promised, and Republicans can hold the line here and get that win, I think they're going to get rewarded with finally people say what they mean what they say, and making progress. That's what I'm hoping. Let's hit the phones, and we'll take a lot of calls. Final half hour of the program today, 800-941-SHAWN, our number. All right, what are you looking at? You agree with me totally, right?
Of course I do. This is
all rooted in hatred, all of this. And I've never seen anything like it. It's like, I think these guys in the media especially, they wake up, oh, look at this tweet. Outrageous. 25th Amendment.
You know what? I actually think it's something a little different.
What?
I think it's that everybody is waiting for their 15 seconds of fame, and they're thinking, what can I say that's more outrageous than the last person? And when we look at Christian Bale, nobody even knows his name. So he's like, oh, I'm going to say something and get into the fold. It's kind of like Elizabeth Warren trying to have a beer because Ocasio-Cortez had it, or Beto O'Rourke had it. Everybody wants to be part of the cool kids club. Nobody wants to do the right thing. And when a kid this weekend like Pierce Corcoran dies in Knoxville, Tennessee, and these people are making jokes about a dollar for the border wall, I hope they go to his funeral. I hope they feel real proud of themselves.
Well, you know, I raised the question with Officer Singh. I mean, he has a 5-month-old son, and, you know, there was an instance where, and Jerry Brown is full of crap, by the way.
And let me tell you something. If I was that family, I would be at his door, banging on his door saying, are you kidding me? My husband is dead. My child is fatherless. And you're saying this has nothing to do with the administration policies that you put in place?
Well, these are the policies. This is the modern liberal, radical, left-wing, socialist, Democratic Party. That, you know, you think about this. If they're not going to support the wall, and you have an illegal immigrant in this case, not just the crime of being here illegally, but then other crimes committed, and then they're in the criminal justice system, and the sanctuary status of a city or a state prevents ICE from going in and getting that person as they are leaving the prison system and gets them back to their home country, although because you have open borders, many of them have repeatedly come back again and again. At what point do they bear part of the responsibility for what happens, because it's their policies that prevented the deportation that the law would require had it been followed, had they not decided to aid and abet criminality and not follow the law.
And I'll leave you with this one thought. You know, we look at these two kids who passed away because their parents made them take this trek that they should have never been on because they had cold or they were sick. And then they're trekking across, these very tough terrains for very long periods of time to try to get here. Right. And then they die when they get to U.S., the U.S. border. And every single liberal media mainstream outlet is talking about it. But then an American citizen dies, like this poor kid in Tennessee, or Steve Ronnebeck's kid, or Laura Wilkerson's kid, or Sabine Durden's kid, and nobody cares. And that's a real sad reality.
I just can't believe that, nobody ever tells their stories, I think, but us. Like, I mean, you think of the life of this, the statement of this family, this Pierce Corcoran of Knoxville, his father was, I guess, a fire chief, right? And he was a captain, and his mom, when they released this statement, for God's sakes, out of the respect for men and women who fought to make this country such a desirable place to live, do the right thing, come here legally and be a responsible citizen. I don't think it's too much to ask, but when you have your own government aiding and abetting and assisting in people that broke the law and then committed other crimes, and then we don't send them back, at some point, there's got to be some culpability on their part. I mean, if I help in a crime, if I help assist or I help hide a criminal, am I not aiding and abetting whatever future crimes they might be involved in? I would argue that I would be. It's unbelievable. All right, we'll get to the phones in a second. 800-941-SHAWN is our number.
You get the inside story that no one else has. And the behind-the-scenes chatter that the mainstream media doesn't even know about. This is the Sean Hannity Show.
All right, 25 now till the top of the hour. All right, let's get to our phones as promised. First, we start Bobby in El Paso in Texas on the Sean Hannity Show. Bobby, how are you? Glad you called.
Hi, Sean. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. What's going on?
Well, all this talk about the border wall has brought back memories for me because when I was a child, we lived near the river, and there was nothing obstructing people from just crossing over. So it was a very strange place to be because we would watch these people come across sometimes into our backyard and try to steal something. But for some unknown reason, my mother started having like a sanctuary home, where she would have people staying there, sometimes strangers, sometimes distant relatives. And one of these people victimized me and my little sister.
What so happened? Are you talking about sexually assaulted?
Yes, over a period of months.
Wow. How old were you?
I was 5, and my sister was about 2.
Oh, my gosh. And your mom was bringing these people in and thinking she was doing good and helping people?
Yes, because I remember that I would wake up in the middle of the night and go out into the living room, and there were all these people spread out all over the floor, and I thought that she was doing it because out of altruistic reasons, but for all I know, they might have been paying her. I just don't know, but as a result of that, my sister and I were abused.
Did you ever tell your mom? I mean, I would understand, obviously, if you didn't tell her at that age, because you're so young and your sister's 2 years old. I mean, Did you ever tell her years later?
Actually, I told her a few months after the man had left, and it was an innocent disclosure while my older sister was giving me a bath. And my mother was outraged, but by that time, the man had gone back to Mexico, and he was never prosecuted.
Unbelievable. I don't know what to say. I mean, I hope you've been able to get the help you need.
Oh, yeah.
And the assistance. I can't imagine the evil. I mean, and you say this went on for months with this guy?
Yes, it went on for a period of months. And being the older child, I would have thought that I would remember the threats, but I only remember the abuse. And my little sister remembers the threats, but she doesn't remember the abuse.
Mm-hmm. And when did you finally, how old were you when you finally told your mother, like, the full story?
We never talked about it. I didn't get the help when I was a child. I only got the help when I grew up and I was already married.
Yeah, and I would assume, you know, obviously a trauma like that stays with you your whole life.
You never recover from it. And what these people don't understand is, for instance, that little girl that was brought up all the way through Mexico by a man who was not her father. She was abused all along the way, and when they ended up here, she ended up in the hospital. That little girl will never be the same.
You know, I use the word sometimes, and it's sometimes hard for good people to wrap their arms around the fact that there's evil. We don't want to believe that they're evil people. Anybody that can harm a little 5-year-old girl like you and your little 2-year-old sister, that is by every definition, what happened to you is evil was perpetrated on you.
Yes.
And your mom, I have no idea what she was thinking. Mm-hmm. I have no idea if she was allowing people, maybe out of the goodness she thought she was doing the right thing, or maybe, as you might suggest, she was getting paid. She had an obligation to protect you and your sister.
Yeah.
And not bring strangers in. And if she's going to bring strangers into the home, at least watch the strangers so something like this didn't happen over a course of months.
Yes.
And I'm so sorry. I really am. I mean, it breaks my heart to hear that you started your young life as a victim of horrible evil. That's evil.
And that's why this wall cannot be tall enough for me. And you never get over it.
No, you never. To be honest, I'm listening to how strong you are, and I think it's a tribute to you, because that's something that some people could never recover from.
Yes. And the other thing I wanted to say is I know Beto personally. He is a liar. And he's foul-mouthed. So this woman, Talib, who used the MF word, is one example, and Beto would be another.
Yeah. Well, listen, you're in our prayers today. I'm sorry. No little girl should ever have to have lived through the evil you lived through or your sister lived through. And I don't know what your mom was thinking. I just, unbelievable.
It's true. It's true. And I thank you for listening.
All right. God bless you. And you stay well. Isn't that horrible? I mean, why would a parent bring in people that they don't know into the house and then leave their 2- and 5-year-old daughter alone with strangers? That doesn't make any sense to me at all. I don't get it. Jill in Arizona, Sean Hannity Show.
Hi, it's Sean.
Hey, Jill, how are you? What's going on?
I'm doing well. I want to thank you so much because you're like a friend, and I love listening to you, and I think that God used you to put Trump in office this last time with just keeping us informed and helping us to make a good decision.
Well, listen, we're going to have a fight on our hands like you do every election season, and it's way too early to decide which way things are going to go, but I will tell you one thing. I will tell you within 100 days, I'm going to stand by my original prediction, although it's happening faster than I thought. The left is going to show America just how radically out of touch with the American people they are and how they have no interest in serving the people, that their total focus is hating Trump. And it won't be it'll be so transparent that it won't be hard to see. I mean, you know, well, impeach the MF-er, and Nancy Pelosi thinks that's perfectly fine.
Right. Well, I wanted to say that my husband's been a Border Patrol agent for 24 years now. He is, he watched Alec Kaepernick pass away. He was one of the first responders to him, and Alec was an agent who was shot in the head by a drug smuggler almost 23 years ago. And we have 6 kids, 2 of which are not going to be going to college this semester. It would just be too stressful financially to do that. And our daughter's wedding is in June. And we don't think that President Trump is asking for enough. We want him to, I mean, I would love to see him demand even more and say, you had your offer, now I'm upping the offer and you're going to have to give me this.
Look, as long as the wall ultimately gets built, I would be happy. And I understand what the president's doing here. I mean, you can't have a negotiation with a group of people that won't even send, that don't have enough respect to even show up in a meeting with the vice president. They're just sending aides over, or a group of people that say, well, we'll give you a dollar, which is so insulting in light of, you know, in 2 weeks, we've had two serious deaths, both involving illegal immigrants, one a police officer and the other the son of a fire captain in Knoxville, Tennessee. And both were in the criminal justice system. And in the case of California, sanctuary policies prevented ICE from doing their job. It is, whatever the amount is, we need to get it. And however it's best to control the border, I'll leave that to the president, to Homeland Security, to the border agents, to ICE to do their job. And if it takes the president to declare a national emergency, I think he'd be well within his rights to do so. And if it takes money from the military, I think that would be another option as well. And if it takes a court fight, let's go through the court fight. But I would not, I would insist that the Democrats do their job and protect the American people also. And if not, the American people need to know that why they're not doing it. Because if they're supporting the policies that enable, that aid and abet criminals that we already have in our justice system to walk free to commit more crimes, at some point they bear some culpability in this.
Right, and I think that President Trump is probably the best president we've ever had just because he makes common sense decisions that I fully support, and I think our country should be so proud of him.
Look, the president's fighting for what he said he'd do. Take it, you know, everyone, you know, for the people that maybe I know, you don't argue, I don't know any conservative that's arguing with his policies, be it on Supreme Court justices, tax cuts, regulation, deregulation, energy independence, building the border wall, even in peace through strength policies and approach towards North Korea, China, new trade negotiations that have benefited the American people, American workers. It's all worked out really well. It's the only thing, some people don't like the style, but I would argue without the style, you don't get elected. And I would say that in a very nice way to Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney tried to play nice in those last two debates in 2012, and it got him nowhere. It didn't matter. Mitt Romney, who probably never did anything wrong in his life, was still accused of being anti-woman and a misogynist. I mean, the poor guy had resumes of women that he wanted to hire. And that's the environment. I mean, all these people on the left praising John McCain when he passed away, you know, the things they said about him in 2008. I mean, there's just such phoniness all the way around here. Let's go to Ken is in Oklahoma. Ken, hi, how are you? And glad you called.
Yeah, hey, Sean. It's great to talk with you today. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What's going on?
All right. I was just listening to you earlier talking about how the Dems always target Trump and DeVos and other people who are actually doing a great job for America. But today, there's one person who really is standing out that it's almost like nobody's talking about, and that is, but I think a future career for this person should be brought into question by every conservative media outlet and commentator, and that's Ruth Bader Ginsburg. This is the first time that she's missed oral hearings. And
well, I don't agree with her judicial philosophy, but you got to wish a human being well, and she did have lung surgery.
Sure.
So, you know, it's not within the realm of extraordinary that somebody gets sick and gets cancer. And obviously you want them to get the best treatment and get back on their feet as quickly as possible.
Well, we all wish them well, but also, you know, the whole thing about misapplied mercy that the liberals always seem to show for the criminal. When you misapply mercy, and this is a different subject, but it applies, and I'll get to it in a second. Misapplied mercy is where you show leniency for one person, and they turn around and do harm back to the community as a criminal would. So you misapply your mercy. You don't show mercy for the community. And when a person gets to the point where there's a law of diminishing returns,
the only thing is, I don't get into all this stuff. I remember when there was a USA Today columnist. What was her name? Julianne Malveaux, I think. Remember, she said, well, I hope that Clarence Thomas eats a lot of eggs and bacon so he gets a heart attack and dies early. If you have a human soul and you care about people, you put politics aside, judicial philosophies aside in this case, you hope and pray for people's health and happiness in life and the ability to recover. Great news about cancers is that we have come a long way. And I know somebody close to me in my life recently had a lobe of their lung removed with cancer and is now totally cancer-free. And it sounds pretty similar to what Ruth Bader Ginsburg had. And I would say I wish her the same speedy recovery and result. These things happen over time. When vacancies become available, they become available.
I will tell you this. They want to stop drugs. They want to stop crime.
Which, by the way, is the way it should be. Isn't that what we say we want that with politicians? Then when they do it, do you really want it? The answer is yes, of course. All right, Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern. You will meet the parents of this 22-year-old Knoxville young man that was killed by this illegal immigrant. And the statement of the mom was just so powerful. This 22-year-old young man named Pierce Corcoran, his parents will join us, killed by an illegal immigrant. Also tonight, we'll have the latest numbers that Nancy Pelosi, the facts that she doesn't want you to have. Why would she not? Why would she say, oh, I just disagree with your facts? Secretary Nielsen says they're facts. We have Dan Bongino, Ali Beth Stuckey, and also Steve Scalise tonight, 9 Eastern. Set your DVR. Hannity on Fox News will be back here tomorrow as the president will be addressing the country tomorrow night at 9. We'll have all the details. See you then. See you tonight at 9.